Mexico, and we're blessed that we have men like John and others that do this type of work. So we appreciate it. Let's keep all these on the prayer list in our prayers. If anybody has any updates, please let me know. Those at Providence Place, Katie Hensley and Mr. and Mrs. Leathers, also Brother Jimmy Mabry, Diversity Care. And anybody have any updates on Joyce Laughlin? Brother Robert, you heard anything on Miss Joyce Laughlin?
Have not heard either.
Okay. Let's keep Miss Joyce in our prayers. And along with Richard, have y'all talked to Richard in the last few days? No. Hope he's doing well, and let's keep Richard and Sandra in our prayers. Mary Klutz, update on Mary Klutz? Nothing.
She's just still waiting for the
still
house.
Still waiting. Okay.
Waiting for her house.
Okay. Waiting on her house. Well, let's pray for that. Ruth Greenwood, update. Anybody have an update on that?
I think Ruth and her children are doing pretty good, I don't know about the other
one. Okay. And Kim Spencer of Huntsville, of course.
Last week, Jay's not was, here. She was in pain, but she was doing what she was doing.
Okay, all right. And my daughter, she's still looking for answers. She hadn't found any yet, and appreciate y'all's prayers for her. Uh-huh. Wednesday night Bible study will return at 7 p.m. Got rid of all the snow, so we'll resume at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. And as always, let's pray for a peaceful time here in our country. And Brother Robert put in here, please read page 2 of the bulletin today for God, nature, and us. Also, Brother Bill Miller, he had a fall and suffered some broken bones, and he's been very generous to this congregation, and we're proud of that, and let's continue to pray for Bill.
Out of Olive Branch. Out of Olive Branch.
Yes, out of Olive Branch. And Brother James, uncle just passed away, and let's keep the Cosby family in our prayers for that. Memorial was last Thursday at Eureka Cemetery, or at Wells Funeral Home, and the burial was at Eureka Cemetery. I think that's it. Anybody have anything else? If not, let's begin our service and song.
This week we heard late in the week that Miss June Franks, she's now June Hooker. She's married. This man loves her a lot, loves her family a lot. She lost another son. He had pneumonia, and over the period of the last 2 months, he's been in Jackson in the hospital fighting that pneumonia, and it got him. And his funeral service is this afternoon at 3 o'clock at Kosciuszko at the Culpeper Funeral Home, and the burial will be on the south side of town off of Highway 35 at the cemetery there, City Cemetery in Kosciuszko. But he was 60 years of age, has a wife, two daughters that are married, and they both have a child each now, and a son that's old enough to be married. I don't know who he is yet, John. I don't know. But anyway, he's there. And I know that Miss June hadn't posted a thing on Facebook about it, and she did post about passing of the other brother, as well as her husband, sooner, so we know she's heartbroken.
Amen.
We love her a lot, and all the things that the Franks family has done, tremendous. And to have these in the last 15 months, have these three deaths to occur.
Amen.
You say.
Let's pray for that family.
Leave us in prayer.
All right.
Is
It's good to see everyone this morning.
Amen.
Let's open our song books to number 614. 614. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored till the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cables pass from his heart to mine, can be tied up last through strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps us all steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps us all steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Amen.
Number 322. 322. Those who can, let's stand, and after this song we'll be led in prayer by Brother Travis. In thy fields I would yield sickles brave and true. In the fight for the right I would dare and do. Spend my days in thy praise all my journey through. Let me live close to thee each day. Let me live close to thee. Guide me all along the way. Let me live close to thee. Let me walk close to thee each day. Not the crown nor renown that the world might see, I would work never shirk, blessed Lord, for thee. But to know where I go, that my soul is free, let me live close to thee each day. Let me live close to thee. Guide me all along the way. Let me live close to thee. Souls above, let me live close to thee each day. Let me live close to thee.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can be here today and study another portion of your word. And Father, we're grateful for Brother John for being here, for the work that he does. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless him and his efforts. Father, we're mindful of the ones that were mentioned here today that were sick and hurting. Father, we pray that you'll be with them and bless them also. Father, we're mindful of the ones that lost loved ones this past week. Father, we pray that you'll be with them and bless them also. Father, we're grateful for this congregation that meets here. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us. Amen. Father, we're grateful for this country. Father, there are many problems here, but Father, they can be worked out through you. Father, we pray that you continue to bless this country.
Amen.
Father, we pray for the men and women that defend this country with their lives each and every day. Father, we're grateful for them, and Father, we pray that you'll be with them and keep them out of harm's way.
Amen.
Grateful for our doctors, our nurses, all that are on the front line for this COVID. Father, we pray that you'll protect them. Mm. Father, we're most grateful for your son. Father, he came and died for our sins, and Father, it's a debt that we're so much grateful for.
Amen.
And we do fall short sometimes, Father. We pray that you forgive us when we do. Be with us and keep us. And Father, we just thank you for your love and kindness for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 588.
Since we have some that are visiting with us today, I want you to be aware of the safety that we have during the Lord's Supper. If you would take the container, and after using it, place the container in the songbook rack right there in front of you, the little holes that are there. And they'll be picked up after service and deposited and thrown away. And that's the way it's done, in this way. Take it and then put it aside. Okay? Thank you.
Number 588.
'Tis said the peace divine, the
and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them all, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
Amen.
But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Amen. Let's pray. The gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table to remember your Son, Father, we're so thankful for the love that you had for us, and that you sent your Son into the world to not only teach us the things that you would have us to know, but die on the cruel cross for our sins. Father, we're grateful to you. And we're grateful for the love that your Son had for us and that he did this. As we carry our minds back to the cross, Father, as we partake of this loaf, as it reminds us of the body that hung there for us, Help us to examine ourselves, Father, and partake of this loaf, which represents that body. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We continue our thanks, our Heavenly Father, for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed for us. Again, Father, help us to partake of this in a manner to be pleasing to Thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord's Supper completed, we now have an opportunity to give back to further the work here at this place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that you give us every day. For the material things that we have in this life, Father, we know that they come from you.
Amen.
And you have blessed us so graciously, Father, and this. We now have opportunity to give back to you to further the cause here at this place. Help us, Father, to give with a cheerful heart, and help us always, Father, to be thankful for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for being here today. Brother John will be delivering the sermon this morning. To someone here today decided to obey the gospel, remember we have this week the assignment. We're there every week in the wintertime. We always have the Baptist warm on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and on Saturdays and Sundays. So it's warm for you.
Let's mark our song books at number 696. 696 will be the song of invitation after our lesson this morning. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 426. 426. We have 20 present today, and today is February 28th, 2021, for taking purposes. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a
will guard his children in his arms. He carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and died and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, powers of heaven's reign. Jesus, Savior, reign forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming, over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell him his excellent greatness. Praise him, every joyful song.
Good job.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tom.
Amen.
Brother Rawson.
Yes.
Brother Rawson and I have been friends for a long time.
Oh, 60 years.
We've been sowing the seed of the kingdom in Mississippi. Our paths have crossed a number of ways. I just got to brag on him a little bit because he's had a big part in influencing my life. We first met each other when I was actually being supported as a missionary out of Fred Hardeman by the Batesville Church in Lexington, Mississippi. And I think you were in Rural back in those days. And that's where we first encountered each other. And then a few years later, I became the preacher at Batesville. But Robert was, I thought he was going to have his cemetery plot down there in Batesville, Mississippi. He and Jane were there for such a long time. But I guess now he's been about as long here as he was at Batesville. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you, before both of us have to meet the Lord, how much I appreciate you, Brother Robert.
Thank you.
And Sister Jane, she's been such a, I tell you what, but he and I both married way ahead of our pay grade, I guarantee you. We both have wonderful Christian women at our side, and I'm thankful we still have them, because some of our preacher friends have lost their wives, and they've had had to deal without that. I want to talk to you today, this morning. Can y'all hear me all right? Are we on here? I want to talk to you about the meaning of mission. The meaning of mission. I started out as a missionary, and now here I am in mission work once again. My first mission, of course, was here in the States as a stateside domestic missionary. And now I'm involved in long-term work, periodic visits to Mexico. And I did that for a number of years along with Brother Les Ferguson, and our church at Ridgeland supported that work, and we were partners together with them. And now we have full oversight of that, and I am in it all fours. And I have really had the call to preach all over again, because I feel like, not that you're not doing a great work here, Robert, or I enjoyed my work as the preacher at Lake Harbor, but I feel like that I'm doing some of the best work and most fruitful work that I've ever done in my life. And I just thank the Lord for the opportunity and to be able to do that. But when I first started, I decided, well, John, you're going to be a missionary now. You got to preach some sermons on mission. So I pulled out my concordance and I looked up the word mission in my King James Version, in the American Standard Version, and guess what? It ain't there. You're not going to find missionary or missions in either translation. No. And rarely does it occur in any of the other translations of the English Bible. Now, the word sin and the word service and other English words of various different Greek words occur. And in some of the newer translations, you will find the word mission translated. But even though that has been a part of our vocabulary in Christianity for generations, I was quite shocked that those were. But you know what? You and I know that the idea of missions, the idea of mission work, permeates the Bible. Amen? I mean, from Genesis to Acts, it's everywhere. In fact, it seems to me, and I hope God will forgive me if I'm out of tune on this, but I believe I'm not. The Bible is not so much about theology, the study of God, as it is about missiology. The story of a missionary God who wants to see the lost in all the world saved. And our missionary Holy Spirit inspired Paul to basically say that in 1 Timothy 2:4. It is the desire of God that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It occurred to me to ask the question, why do men and women across our great brotherhood for many, many years have given themselves to be missionaries? Why did they leave the comforts and conveniences of America? And if you've ever been overseas, you know what I'm talking about. We are in the richest, most wonderful country in the universe. Well, why do they do that and move far away from family and friends and learn difficult and different languages, live in strange cultures under tremendously hardship circumstances, in fact, many of them heavily persecuted, some of them even supporting themselves out of their own finances? Why do our brothers and sisters in Christ do that? Why do churches like this church make foreign mission work a priority of your budget? Why do you do that and give joyously to it? I'm going to give you three reasons that will help you to understand the meaning of mission like maybe you've never understood it before. First of all, mission is the heart of Christ. What do you think about that? You know Jesus. He was a missionary Messiah. Mission was the reason he came into this world. Mission was the prime mover in his public ministry. Mission was why he ultimately went to the cross. He was a missionary Messiah. Shortly after Jesus was baptized, if you know your story of Jesus' life, the book of Luke tells us in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus made his way up to Galilee to the little city of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was his hometown. That's where he spent the first 30 years of his life, basically. And he immediately went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day like he had done for years with Joseph and with Mary. They knew this hometown boy, and so they offered him to read the scripture. According to verse 17 of Luke chapter 4, he happened to turn to that messianic prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. And this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal or bind up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And everybody's eyes were focused on him at that moment. But then he shut the scriptures and he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. All of a sudden, there was a change. They became filled with indignation. They took Jesus up on the cliff, on the hill where Nazareth was built, and attempted to throw him off and kill him. Do you remember that? Somehow, some way, Jesus managed to escape. He went up to Capernaum in Galilee, and he set up headquarters there and began his great Galilean ministry. And he was well received. They were astonished at his teaching, because his word was with power. He performed a number of miracles, and they wanted to keep him there instead of killing him there. Drop your eyes down, if you're back in Luke chapter 4, to verse 43, and notice what Jesus said. I have come, been sent to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, and I must go to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. Missions was the heart of Christ. A little later, Jesus goes through the city of Jericho. Did you know Jericho was a city of priests? You remember the Samaritan story of the priest and the Levite going from Jericho to Jerusalem? They journeyed quite frequently, going up to Jerusalem to work in the temple. Jesus goes into that city of priests, city of palm trees, the city of Jericho, and he's going down the major part of the city, and he stops and he looks up, and there's a wee little man up in a sycamore tree by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, everybody loved Zacchaeus, right? Wrong. They hated him. He's a tax collector. But what does Jesus say to that man? Come down. I'm going to your house today. And you know the end of the story, don't you? Salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus, that little man who wanted to see Jesus. Now, the crowds grumbled. They said he's going to have dinner with a sinner. And what did Jesus reply? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. You see the missionary urgency there? In John chapter 4, we read, in verse 1, John saying that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Now, Palestine is divided into Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Now, the typical rabbi, if he wanted to go from Judea to Galilee, did not go through Samaria, because the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. They were dogs. Worse than Gentiles. And there was a great wall separating the two. And typically a rabbi would cross over the Jordan River into Perea and go up on the eastern side and then go into Galilee rather than to go through Samaria. But that did not restrict Jesus. Necessity was upon him, and he's going to go straight through Samaria. Do you know why? Because in his divine mind, he's able to see that there's a sinful woman that's fixing to draw some water at Jacob's well outside the little city of Sychar. And he wants to give her some living water from his well of everlasting life. And that's exactly what he does. While all that's happening, the disciples had gone into Sychar to buy food. And they return. That woman left her water pot and goes into Sychar, and she's knocking on every door. Hey, I think I may have discovered the Messiah. And the disciples offered Jesus something to eat. You remember what Jesus said? My meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Look, lift up your eyes. The fields are white unto harvest. And I can just imagine a huge crowd of white-robed people coming out of Samaria. Sinners, Samaritan sinners. And Jesus says, look, lift up your eyes. The fields are white in the harvest. And say not to yourselves, yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Because we're fixing to reap a harvest right now. So mission is the heart of Jesus Christ. And my question to you this morning, brother and sister, is do you have the heart of Christ for missions? When you view the crucifixion of Christ, do you think of missions? When you think of the life of Jesus Christ, do you think about missions? If you're going to be a follower of Christ, you've got to have the heart of Christ. Truth number two is mission is the hope of the condemned. When I went to Lake Harbor Drive about 20 years ago, we had a little Mexican lady came to visit us. Her name was Esperanza. Beth and I established a relationship with her, taught her the gospel, had her in our home for dinner, and before long I baptized her. You know what Esperanza means in Spanish? Hope. Hope. Hope came to hope. Many years ago, she's since moved to Texas, still a faithful Christian to this very day. In the Great Commission, according to Mark's account, Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be what?
Condemned.
My King James Version says damned. But that's not a cuss word. That's a curse word. Missions is not only the heart of Christ, it's the hope of the condemned. Do you understand that? What the meaning of missions is all about? I want to try to emphasize that to you this morning. We all know John 3:16 by heart. We can all quote it. But do you know verse 17? For the Son of Man did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Everyone that believes in him is not condemned. If any man does not believe in him, he's condemned already, because he's not believed in the only Son of God. This is condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. People in this world, 7.8 billion people in this world. And let me tell you something. That's about how fast they're dying. And we've got to get a grip on that. That the majority of the people are not within the borders of the United States of America. Yes, we need a mission for America. But we need a missionary heart for those billions of people scattered throughout this planet. And so when you think of Christ and what Christ came to this world to do, we need to understand there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I think there's a scripture for that, isn't it? Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, to those who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. And if there's no condemnation in Christ, who's going to condemn us? Nobody. So if you're here this morning and you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and you have repented of your sins and you have been baptized into Christ, listen again. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Isn't it great this morning to have no condemnation?
Amen.
And so missions is the heart of Christ. It's the hope of the condemned. When you see the crucifixion of Christ, you need to see that's the only hope for sinful man. And that's why we've got to get serious with a greater sense of urgency to get the gospel out. And to be more sacrificial than we've ever been before. Not only as a congregation, but as individual Christians. And we've not only got to go across the sea, but we've got to go across the street. Because we all have family and we all have friends that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We support other missions, not just Mexico at Lake Arbor. One of the missionaries that we support is Rocco Pierce. Do y'all know Brother Rocco Pierce? He's been in Fiji Islands for a long, long time now. And I read some time ago about missionaries from America going to the Fiji Islands down in the South Pacific, to Samoa. And these missionaries took the gospel down there, and numerous people came to believe in Jesus Christ. And one was the chief of the tribe on an island, and he helped all of his people become believers in Jesus. And one day, a businessman came to that island and to do business with the chief, and learned that the chief had become a believer in Christ. And because they were friends, he was quite bold about mocking the old chief. He said, "Chief, I can't believe you've been duped by those American missionaries. And you have been fooled by them." Well, the old chief didn't quite know how to answer. But then he thought for a few minutes and he said, "Look, you see that big rock over there?" He said, "There used to, when people would get off a ship or a boat like you did a few days ago, we would take them and we would dash their heads against those rocks and we would kill them. And you see that furnace over there? We would take their dead bodies and roast them, because we were cannibals. And now we're Christians. And if it were not for those missionaries bringing us the message of the gospel, we would be having you for supper." Missions is the hope of the condemned. And then thirdly, mission is the health of the church. Let me ask you something. How do you measure a healthy church? A spiritually healthy church. How do you measure that church? Do you measure it by its big budgets? Huh? Millions of dollars a year budget? No. What about their big, huge, fancy buildings? What about their huge crowds? Membership? Not necessarily. I tell you how you measure a healthy church. If they've got a missionary heart. You see, it's not their seating capacity that God is looking at. It's their sending capacity. When you read the gospel accounts of the Great Commission, Jesus' charge to the church was go carry the gospel to the whole world. And when you read the book of Acts, the story of their carrying out that Great Commission, they did that with tremendous passion. And I tell our Mexican missionaries when I go down, I remind them of this all the time, because we got these humongous, expensive cathedrals in every town. And we're in little rented buildings in the shadow of those huge cathedrals. And a lot of our preachers, we don't have church buildings. We don't have anything. We can't compete with them. And I said, look at the book of Acts. Go back and read Acts. That early church took Christianity to the whole world in less than 30 years, and they did it without church buildings. They did it on limited financial resources and human resources and under severe persecution. In the most difficult circumstances. You take the church in Jerusalem. It was a missionary church. It took persecution to get them to become a missionary church. The church at Antioch was a great missionary church. I just finished a sermon on the church at Antioch. An awesome missionary church. I might preach that next time I come. And the church of Philippi was a great missionary church. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4 and he said, there were times when I was preaching the gospel, nobody sent money unto me, but you did. Over and over you did it. And I thank God that you did it. Ephesus was a missionary church when Paul first went there. In Acts 19, all Asia heard the word of God. Through his work for about 2.5-3 years. Paul's work. And the church in Ephesus. Right in the shadow of Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. And the church grew. Now later in Revelation 2, God said concerning the Ephesian church, you remember? You have left your first love. You have abandoned the first works. And you need to repent. Well, how do you describe a healthy church? Robin, I heard about a brother that came to the pulpit to lead a prayer, like that brother did this morning. And he said, "Dear God, bless those that are sick of this church." Yeah, it came out about like that. But let me ask you something. He meant people who are in the hospital, people who are physically sick, of course. Does God ever get sick of the church? His church that he purchased with his own blood? What about Revelation 3? Church at Laodicea? We don't know how that church began. We can only guess. But we know what was going on in the church when Jesus wrote the letter in Revelation. I know your works, you're neither hot nor cold. I would that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Regurgitate you. Spiritually, if you don't repent and be zealous about it. So how do you measure a healthy church? One denominational missionary, Oswald Smith, he was a Canadian missionary, went to 8 different countries. He was from the from Canada. He said, a church that does not evangelize will fossilize.
Amen.
David Livingston, a British missionary, spent his whole life as a medical missionary in Africa. He said, the best remedy for a sick church is putting on a missionary diet. I believe that with all my heart. So basically, there are three responses a healthy church will do. You during all three of them, by the way, here at Crockett. And I'm not just being flattery. I'm not just here to pat you on the back and thank you. Yes, to thank you for your contribution. But the truth is the truth. Number one, you'll go. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. When God said, who will go for us? Somebody's got to go. Years ago, Brother Rawson heard that call. And he went. And he's with you today. Not everybody can go to foreign lands. Not everybody can become an official gospel preacher. But there is a sense in which we all should go. To our neighbors, our friends, our family. A healthy church is a going church. And then a healthy church is a praying church. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is going throughout all the villages and the cities, and he's healing people right and left, and there's a huge crowd, and he sees the crowds and he has compassion for them because they're helpless and they're harassed like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus said this, the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You may not can go to a foreign country, Brother Bill, but you can pray. Like you prayed others this morning for our work in Mexico and for the other missionaries throughout the world. Pray it publicly as well as privately. And then you can send. In Romans 10, Paul said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. A lot of people have misused that passage to teach things that it doesn't teach. But we know the rest of that passage, don't we? But how shall they call on him in whom they've not heard? Have not believed. And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now my wife says my feet stink. And I smell my own feet sometimes. Yeah, they do smell occasionally. But God says they're beautiful. And we've got 11 missionaries in Mexico that we're your partners with us in supporting them. It's got beautiful feet. Thank you, church, for being a going church, a praying church, and a sending church. And that qualifies you for being a healthy church spiritually. You may not have wall-to-wall people. You may not have a budget of 20,000, 30,000. I was with the Church of Christ over in Alabama the other day. $25,000 a week was their contribution. Isn't that something? I'm just simply saying, don't put yourselves down, church. Because you don't have a big fancy building. You don't have a big budget. You don't have a big crowded wall-to-wall people with all your pews packed. God measures a healthy church by being a missionary church. One of the preachers that's had the greatest influence on my life, right out of Harding University in 1976, I went to Florence, Alabama. And there was a college there called International Bible College. And the preacher, who was also a graduate of Harding, was Charlie Cole. Anybody ever heard of Charlie Cole? Amen. Mary Jean has heard of him. Charlie Cole made a missionary trip across the Pacific to the jungles of Cambodia. And he came back, and I happened to be in chapel the day that he had returned, and he began to talk to those students. And he said, you know, I went to Cambodia, and I went into the jungles, and I went into a hut, and I walked into that hut, and there on the wall was a life-size poster picture of Elvis Presley. Yeah, Elvis Presley. And I looked on the table, and there was a bottle of Coca-Cola. Now, some of our Mexican people don't know Elvis Presley. He hasn't been resurrected from the dead down there like he has in the U.S. But they love Coca-Cola. And Charlie asked that question, why is Elvis Presley known throughout the world? And why is Coca-Cola everywhere? Because they have made that, Coca-Cola's made that their mission. Years ago, if you went into the headquarters of Coca-Cola in Atlanta, Georgia, this is what you saw. Think globally, act locally. And that's why you see Coca-Cola in every continent, in every country, in every city, in every town, in every county throughout this whole planet Earth. Because they bought into that economic philosophy. Think globally, act locally. When I saw that, Tom, I thought, now that ought to be the missionary motto of the Church of our Lord. Think globally, but act. Tate County. Crockett Community. And I thank you, Church, for the missionary spirit that permeates this congregation. I know it starts with Brother Robert, because he motivates you. But you were missionary church before Robert Rawson ever opened the door, front door. Incidentally, I'm not the only pig preacher that's ever preached at this pulpit. There was a Walter Pig years ago that preached right here at Crockett. Did y'all know that? And a lot of people have asked me if I was kin to him, and I said, well, in the Lord, yes. But thank you, dear Lord, for the Crockett congregation and for your love for souls and for being partners with us in our Mexico mission work. It's the heart of Christ. It's the hope of the condemned. It's the health of the church. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we invite you to become a Christian. Brother Robert is encourage you to make that decision, and he will be here at the front to await you. If you have any spiritual need this morning, remember those words of our Lord, he that believeth that is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned. May God give you the courage to make the right decision for the Lord as we stand and sing together.
The fountain reaches for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its spring. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come?
Will you come to the fountain free?
Will you come?
Will you come?
'Tis for you and me.
Thirsty soul,
hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open. is a fountain open for all.
There's another brother that I need to say something before I dismiss. God will hold me accountable at the day of judgment. And that's your brother Bill Koff. I don't know if y'all know that I probably stand right here today because of good brothers like Bill Koff. And his brother, Aubrey. They were members of the Skyway Hills Church. I was the first person baptized in the new building that was built in Pearl, Mississippi, my hometown, in the winter of 1964. One of the first Christian men that I faced was Bill Koff. Bill, I'm so glad that we're our paths have intersected again. And so if there's any good thing that I've done to the Lord, God's going to blame you for it. Because you had early influence in shaping my life. It's just a bad.
I love you, brother.
And I thank you and I love you.
Brother John said something this morning that I've got to say a sentence about. And that is, not Robert has encouraged this church to be evangelistic, but your fathers and mothers. I was in Batesville 35 years and often came here. And I know them. They've passed away now and are buried out here. But they were evangelistic in thought and in mannerisms of life over and over again. No doubt influenced everybody here for good things. And that's a good thing to know. Close us out.
Let's turn to number 181. 181. And after the song, Robert, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes, sir.
Onward rejoicing, I tread life's way. Higher I'm climbing each passing day. Hilltops of glory now rise in view, where all shall be made new. Hilltops of glory now rise in view. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for everyone here today. We thank thee for the message that we've heard and encouraged by to go and pray and to sin. And let us be people who follow those ways that our loved ones before us followed and taught and practiced in thy. Be with us in every effort for good. Forgive us of our sins and help us to be faithful always. To thee, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.